Damn it, I love you, Steve. Flip the bird, the red light. Phone sex with my ex-wife. Four bottles, one night. I'm on the subway home having fist fights. Fresh fries, a little sriracha. Four in the morning watching Harry Potter. Counting money in my white boxers. You need a little hit, you know that I gotcha.
I got a 40 in the back with your name on it. Walking out the deli with a checking in my belly, that's a wait for this alone, that's you. Speeding low up in my power rig. Mixed it with Patron and the fire bags. I take a sip, I take the whole jug. And now that got me done.
Money talks and I talk back.
And I talk back. New York Yankees cap on my ball patch. Nunchucks in my backpack. Step too close, I'm swinging at your nutsack. Prick you with the thumbtack. Stick you with the blicky in the lunch bag. Wallet heavy, pants sag into my butt crack. Baby, you can't touch that.
Baby, you won't touch this. But baby, you can't touch this. Ashtray for the Duchess. And a plate full of Dunkin'. I got cash in abundance. And a little stash in a dungeon. Wife's cooking up the luncheon. Hogs have meat, don't be stingy with the onions.
Money talks and I talk back.
Verbose.xyz. Tonight, kicking it in the alternate universe where a 75 and a 92-year-old lay it down thicker than any rapper on the street. I'm the mad scientist, Miles Ode, coupled with my man Crafter, a.k.a. Black Jesus, a.k.a. Black Killer Mike, a.k.a. 2-for-1 RB Special, a.k.a. Why My PP Big. How you doing tonight, sir?
I don't know, man. I don't know how I'm doing. I don't know how this is going to go. I'm getting worried.
I'm so excited for tonight. We got a full house. To answer your question, El Japo, who the fuck is this? Maury and something was the rapper's name?
Frank and Maury.
Frank and Maury, fucking 92 and 75-year-old motherfuckers in a pool writing down 6 tracks on fucking World Star out of Dunkin' Donuts. I can't fucking lie. That's the coolest shit I've heard in forever. I hope that I'm old and I decide to enter the rap game. On the horn also tonight, you remember her. She's the amazing, great, how do you put it? The all-powerful hoe. Yeah, the all-powerful hoe who runs the Doom Community FAP. Check her out, fapnow.xyz. And also on the horn tonight, our special guest and hopefully wild card, wildly conservative and throwing it down for the old school classic horror games, we got Wookie Nigga on the horn. How you doing, Wookie?
That's actually Wookie for what he do.
What he do?
Yeah, I got a PhD in Wookie speech.
Bro, are you like one of those Trekkies who know how to speak Klingon?
No.
Oh my god.
No, actually, I never liked Star Trek, really. I know it seems weird.
I feel like if you like Star Trek and Star Wars, that's the sci-fi equivalent of being bisexual.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Interesting. I never thought about it that way.
I myself find myself to be bi sci-fi because I really do. I think I kind of lean more Star Trek. But I do love Star Wars. I don't know it as well as my constituents. But, you know, sit me down on some Deep Space Nine with that Chakotay. We could fucking have beers and shit. I'm down with that.
Picard. Yeah. Picard all the way.
Of course he would say that. Of course.
And one quick thing. It's Wookiee Ninja.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. My bad. But it's all good. It's all good.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Not an exciting of a Wookiee for sure. Just not
you're my N-word. How would you say you're my N-word in Wookiee? We just got banned off of like all major platforms.
Later, platform. Yeah.
Later, Twitch. Thank you for having us for so long. DLive, yeah. Why don't you switch cryptos again? And yeah, just go to verbose.xyz. That's where we're at. All of our links to everything exist there. And join our Discord. You too could get into the conversation right here, right the fuck now. We're going to throw it down with some interesting topics today. I got some good clips today. Papa Miles went out on a limb and made some actual clips. I scoured the internet and the C-SPAM for the best juiciness I could find. Plus, some requests from Ho tonight, which gorgeous. But I just want to start the show off right tonight with our monologue and say Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. What say you?
Definitely. He did not kill himself. I mean, I think you were just watching and showing me today, you know, Stephen Crowder testing out the hanging theory. He couldn't, you know, create enough pressure.
My God.
But even, like I was telling you, let's say he did kill himself. That means it was just this miraculous failure of the guards not watching, the cameras not working, and him being in a high security suicide watch cell. And being able to commit suicide, like it's either a perfect storm of idiocy and mismanagement, or he didn't kill himself.
He didn't kill himself.
I mean, like the only like that whole experiment that Stephen Crowder did, Stephen Kenevan, I should say, but literally like the one thing that disappointed me about his experiment is he's trying to like lay on his knees and like, you know, like push himself forward or, you know, push his foot back. I think the real test would be to use a dummy of a similar weight and then push it off the top bunk, because like you're going to try to like force yourself down in that situation. I would imagine. I couldn't imagine trying to fucking kill myself jumping off of a bunk bed. That would be just absolute retardania. You know, I also couldn't imagine fucking creating a baby farm in fucking in New Mexico where you pumped out fucking future generations of child porn. It's fucking crazy.
You know, talking about Jeffrey Epstein and his, you know, quote unquote suicide, it's just kind of funny that the picture of Bill Clinton in a dress came out and then whoop, he's gone.
Yeah, that's interesting, right?
You know, it's like, really?
Huh. I was Crafter just shared with me something where the whole New Mexico Zorro Ranch thing. There's several manifest bookings from the Clintons, and we're not talking just Bill Clinton. Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea going to hang out at that ranch. Obviously, not in the main ranch, but in a farmhouse outside of it. But you know, right. They would vacation there on a regular basis. It just blows my mind the amount of
despite
people
all that,
connected to this man.
It's like whoever killed him really thinks that every person in America is mentally retarded, because you literally do not have to be, you know, Sherlock Holmes or anyone like that to figure out that that was literally set up. I mean, seriously, the guards falling asleep.
So you don't think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself?
Hell no.
No, not
what
one.
What say
yet.
You, Ho?
No, hell no. And I think, honestly, people on both the left and the right would agree on that. I think there'd be some extreme left that buy into the delusion that might disagree. But for the most part, the left that is does have a little bit of common sense to them, they would agree. I actually bought, you know, that meme that's going around with the you know, Real Housewives yelling at that cat.
Yes.
I bought a sweater with the cat, and I had it custom printed, Epstein didn't kill himself on it.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
It's my ugly sweater for Christmas.
Yes, that is the best. I mean, what would be better to, like, you know, share love and connection with the family this holiday season than an ugly sweater that says Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself?
Exactly. No, but guys, I wouldn't even put it past Hillary to get in on the pedophilia action. I think she is so power hungry that she would actually get off on having power of doing something sordid with children. And it just, I just, you know, want to throw up in my mouth a little bit, because honestly, I would not be surprised if that ever is fought out. Bill is a given. He did shit. See, Hillary, like, I think she partaked too.
I mean, I don't know where, like, I couldn't picture that with Hillary. I mean, Bill, yeah, I'm on the same page there. You know, he definitely did it. But I don't know. I don't know about Hillary. I don't know.
Like, are you kidding me? I would say that I would agree with Hope, to be honest, because, see, the thing is with Bill, I would believe that he would do it, but it's more for his sick pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
He did it when he was in the White House. I mean, not the pedophilia itself, but I mean, he had Monica Lewinsky and all of them. That's why he was impeached. You see what I'm saying? So for Bill, it's pleasure on his part. But for Hillary, I agree with Ho. I could see her doing something or assisting Bill in it purely for power. That's how she is.
Wasn't she involved in like spirit cooking and things like that, where she would involve herself in these rituals where they would like kind of bathe themselves in blood and paint certain messages on walls and things like that? That seems like a very power hungry ritual to me.
And, yeah, go ahead.
In that, I could see the correlation of like where you could be like, huh, if she was there, why wouldn't she be involved? And, you know, why was Chelsea there? I mean, is Chelsea, she seems like such an innocent being, you know, dumb, innocent being. No?
So
enlighten me, please.
So talking about like the spirit cooking or whatever, never heard anything about it. So I can't really say anything on that other than it's evil and wickedness.
It's like Alex Jones saying, and then, in the water turning through
right,
the frog's
right,
day.
Right. Now, as far as Chelsea, she seems innocent, but when you think about it, Bill seemed innocent when he was younger. Hillary seemed innocent when she was younger. You see, people tend to grow up the way they're raised. And one thing's for sure, if you're raised by two really evil and wicked people, do not be surprised when you grow up evil and wicked yourself.
Interesting.
And I have to agree with him on a little bit there, because you described her as innocent. She knows what her parents are doing.
You think?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. She's involved. She's involved. She's just being very quiet about it, which is the smart thing for her to do, but she still would be involved. And I'm not sure if she got dragged into anything, whether or not her parents would protect her or not. I think they would try, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I think they would throw her under the bus to save themselves.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You do see her kind of poke her head out in the environment of like environmentalism and climate change and things like that. And I think that's like the big agenda everybody kind of rides on, but I don't really see it. When I see her, I see Beavis looking at her and saying, I see that you have braces. I have braces too. That's all I see. I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, man, she got braces. You know, Butthead has something going on there. I'd probably let her suck my dick.
Okay.
No?
I would take Bill Clinton in the dress.
So wait a minute. You wouldn't hate fuck Hillary Clinton?
No, absolutely. No. No.
No.
No, no.
Not even if Bill Clinton watched. What about what?
What about just
I wouldn't
neck?
Even.
Would you hate fuck her
just
neck?
Her neck.
No, I wouldn't even do it as torture. I would Jeffrey Epstein myself before I did that.
That's awesome. like literally try to kill myself by tying a sheet around my neck and jumping from a bunk bed.
Guards are asleep. Clinton's coming for me. Now's my time.
Let's do this.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein God. Thing. That's going to be a thing now.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
Wookiee, you and I have had a couple of conversations, and there's one thing that I've kind of wanted to ask you in public so I could put you on blast about it.
Okay.
Is the idea of legality. So, you know, as like a lot of libertarians talk about the ideas of freedom and the reaches of freedom and private property and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think the conversation that we're having was about the idea of legalizing all drugs, like every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And I remember you had mentioned that it was like, since these things are illegal, these are things that, you know, no one should do. And I wanted to delve into that and give you a space to like kind of expound upon what you think about the idea of freedom over litigation, meaning like the laws that we have set, are these the laws that we should follow? Or when we find a different way, is that where do we define legality? Is it what the government tells us, or is it what we define?
Well, it's tough. It's tough because, and you have to have a standard in which to set what is right or wrong. And it's tough for me because you have to understand, I'm a Christian. So a lot of what I define as right or wrong or wicked or good is based purely on the Bible and my beliefs.
Can I interject really quick?
Go ahead.
Now, within our nation, we as a nation respect the idea of separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. From a purely litigation sake, should we be creating laws based around religion, or should religion have a placeholder in our morality as a whole?
So the way I look at it is I fully agree with separation of church and state. The problem is that people nowadays don't actually understand why that came about and what it actually is supposed to mean. They think, oh, church is supposed to have nothing to do with the state, with, you know, the government. When in reality, what it was because in England, they had Catholicism, which was big back in those times. And that was before the Protestant Reformation. England was actually running around saying you had to be Catholicism. You couldn't be anything else.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so if you were not Catholic, if you didn't define yourself as Catholic, they would put you in jail and kill you. And that's why we came up with separation of church and state, so that the government couldn't tell you what religion to practice.
And I respect that. 2019, right here, right now, your feelings about the separation of church and state and how law is affected by religion.
Like I said, I fully agree with separation of church and state, being that I am Protestant, I'm Baptist. You see what I'm saying? And I don't want the government to come in and say, I have to be something else because I know my religion and my faith, and we believe it to be true.
Yeah, word. I definitely agree with that.
But with that said, it's really tough because I know I'm not going to convince everyone.
No, that's not what we're here.
We believe that there's only one true standard for what is good and what is right, and that is God and the Bible. Now, we should base our laws and everything off of all of that, as we believe, you know, as Christians, because He is the perfect goodness, He is the perfect perfection, and so. In the Bible, we're taught that all are wicked, none are righteous, no, not one. We all sin, we are all imperfect. And that is why we have to look to God, because God is perfect. He is God. He's without sin, you see, and He is all that is good. And so when we make laws, not saying that people in this world can't be good by human standards, but by God's standards, we are not good. And because of sin, I mean, you look at it. I mean, for instance, we're talking about Jeffrey Epstein and the Clintons, and we're laughing about all the things that they've done. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? You're saying that they can make rules? Why are they allowed to make rules? That's the ironic thing.
I mean, because that's the ironic thing that you're pointing out, is these are the people that are making the laws.
Yes, and that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. I believe that our laws should be based off of the Bible. And what God tells us.
What about people who in our country who aren't Christian? How can we blanket have people, you know what I mean? Because like Muslim countries, that's right, what they do.
Right.
They literally, their laws are based on Islam.
Or and what about the parts that the Bible didn't, you know, guide anybody on, you know, like weapons laws or antitrust laws and corporations or international trade or sanctions or rules of war? I mean, what about all those parts? What do we do with those? If we guide our laws by that book alone, what about the parts that were left out?
Well, okay, so when it comes to those, true, it says nothing in the Bible about gun laws, stuff like that. But when you look at the basic laws, you know, every commandment, all the Ten Commandments, everything, Jesus told his disciples in the Bible that the ultimate rule, the ultimate commandment was to love one another. That was the ultimate rule because all of the commandments are covered under love. If you love each other, then you won't steal from each other. You won't covet your friend's wife. You see what I'm saying? You won't murder someone because you love them, like a true, genuine love. You see?
What if you love your neighbor so much that you let them fuck your wife?
Oh my! I mean, but
well,
I mean,
that's not love.
Why not?
What if your wife doesn't want that?
Oh well.
Then you're being discourteous and not loving your wife.
That's true.
You see?
That's true. But if she loved me, she'd do it.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Miles.
I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
But I think that if everyone did try to adhere to that law, that we should have a perfect love or as close to perfect love as possible, I think you would find that a lot of the things that we think about as far as like gun laws and everything would not be an issue one bit. The reason why we have gun issues is because people want to take guns to shoot and kill each other. But again, if you love one another, you're not going to try to murder each other.
Go ahead.
I would love nothing better than to live in a society where this could work. And then people would actually adhere, respect that. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a wonderful idea. But the problem is that people are sick. People
Absolutely.
Are demented. People are cruel. People
but
are
I thought
selfish.
People were made in the image of God.
Now, see, we were. But that was before sin was introduced.
Why did we have to introduce sin? Why did we have to be given choice? This blessing of like the semblance of free will.
Because God wanted us to love him.
Maybe, air quotes here, God just wanted us to exist.
No. Well, yes and no. You're close on that. But God does want a genuine relationship with us. He does want us to love and care about him. You see? No different than a father does. But let me give you this example. Miles, I don't know. Do you have any children?
Nope, not yet. Not
no.
that I know of, at
okay.
least.
Oh, my God, Miles.
I mean, what?
Let's see.
Daddy?
And Matt, imagine.
I've had a lot of sexual partners in my life, so.
Okay. Now, imagine that you do have a son.
Okay.
And he loves you. He looks up to you. And he always wants to do right and do what you tell him to do and follow your example because he loves you so. And then you have your car. And your car exists. And it does what you tell it to do. Which love means more to you? Your son's love or the car or the love from your car that you get because it does what it wants you to do?
Huh. I think that's a subjective question. I think I would side on the side of humanity. For sure. Of course, I would love my son or, you know, my progeny.
Well, the reason why I say that your son's love is going to be much more than a love any car could give you
okay.
is because the car doesn't have a choice. It has no choice whatsoever. It has to do
But
it.
The car sounds like God to me.
But.
Because God seems to love us unconditionally.
But what I'm saying is your son chooses to love you. He has free will. He could easily hate you. but he chooses to love you. You see what I'm saying?
Dude, I hated my dad.
But
I fucking hated my dad tooth and nail. It wasn't until I was in like my 20s or 30s, early 30s, that I realized, oh shit, you know. Actually, it was like mid 20s that I realized that my parents, the reason they raised me the way I did is so that I would turn out the way that I did.
Sure, but
I think that there was way more intervention there than there has been. I can't say that, actually. You see, like, I'm trying to argue from the standpoint of, like, God doesn't exist, but I don't believe that. I think that, like, I think God exists, but I think that it is shallow-minded to say that one way is right. I think that we were all given this amazing tool to be able to divinate, and it exists in our very endocrine system. And we're able to interact with that in science, where you manipulate certain parts of the brain with radiation. You can literally influence someone's ability to feel faith or not. And I think that's a divine presence. That being said, the Bible says a lot of things about being made in its own image. And I think if we take things too mm-hmm. literally, we think that we're more special than we are, when in actuality, we're all one being. So separated by borders and walls and rivers and oceans, we develop different culture. But at the end of the day, the message is always the same. Whether it be Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, the core message is there. And I think that's what the true uniter is and what God actually is. Rather than, and this is my opinion, I'm just throwing this out there, rather than seeing some sort of man in the sky that resembles our very feature, it's more like the spaces in between the particles that put us together, that being the presence of God. Intelligence that exists at the both macro and micro of everything. Boom. All right. Fucking Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I like talking about religion, but I don't want to kill everybody. Fuck, I had some other
questions. We don't want a bunch of Jeffrey Epsteins.
Fuck. God. We're going to, I have some clips that are going to be quite, very inciting tonight. It's going to be like Alex Jordan's level of fucking incitement. I'm so excited.
Oh,
yeah. Crafter, do you have any questions for our boy Wook?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good to go. What are we listening to?
You're along for the ride too tonight. Yeah. I could tell.
I'm experiencing. I'm experiencing.
So what was my grade? Did I pass?
Oh, you're not done yet, dude.
Oh, yeah.
We're not done yet at all. Matter of fact.
What did you get on question number 10?
Yeah, you guys would share answers.
I got C, but then again, if I don't know anything, I always answer C.
Yeah. You know, we had a saying, I spent 6 years in the Air Force, and one thing we always said, because a lot of our tests were multiple choice, so we always said, if you don't know the answer, then see Charlie, your way out.
Yeah, see all the things. C for a C+. So okay, so you're leaning more right, or you're like straight up conservative? Could we say that you're a conservative, evangelistic?
Kind of like could pretty much say.
Okay,
I would never say that I'm like far right. But I am very solid conservative Republican.
And you don't dance or gamble, correct?
I dance, just not very good, but I don't gamble.
Interesting.
We can dance if we want to, though.
You could leave your friends behind. Yeah. And those friends don't dance because they know that Baptists don't dance, goddamn.
Baptists don't dance.
Toe tap.
Okay, all right. But just remember, every time you toe tap, God is watching you.
Miles, I swear.
What? He decided to come on the show. He knew what this was.
See, but what you don't realize is that's what the robes are for. So you don't see his toe tapping.
At least he isn't Mormon wearing magic underwear. Come on, you know.
Right?
Oh.
See, but Mormons got it right. They like save like 3 to 5 years of food just in case Jesus comes back and they weren't chosen. It's like, fuck.
Yeah, fuck apocalypse. You, Jesus. I'm going to last.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck it. We'll live off of our stores while the apocalypse goes on. Okay, so from your perspective as a Christian conservative, alt-right white nationalist.
Deep right. Thanks for just putting these labels on me.
Just kidding. It's so much fun, though. Like, the left must have so much fun, like, putting false pretenses on people.
I was just wondering if you were going to have another C word to put on me. You said conservative and Christian. Give her a
kick in the cunt.
Yeah. No. He's only decaled me once, you know, just once, so...
But isn't that how you white people greet each other? Is with the zigzag?
Yeah, that's the common. You know, that's the common tongue.
Also, all white people come from Ohio, and they hatch out of eggs every spring, I believe. Yep.
Hatcheries, white hatcheries. That's very true.
White hatcheries.
I must be an oddity then, because I'm from Texas.
Bruh.
Imports. That's probably incubators.
Incubators, too. That's fucking ridiculous. Okay, speaking of Texas and all of that, then you might be strong opinion on this. How do you feel about the wall, the idea of a wall?
I am 100% for it. People don't realize.
And why?
Because what the president is talking about keeping out, I agree 100% on.
What is he trying to keep out?
Illegals. I know people want to call them immigrants or whatever. Immigrants come in the legal way. They come in through the border at the checkpoints and they seek green cards and they try to assimilate into our culture or add something to our culture as a nation. What you find is coming over are people trying to anchor themselves into our nation because it's better than what they have. And yes, it is better. Otherwise, they wouldn't be jumping the border. And the only other ones you have are all the drug cartels and crazy people from all these gangs coming over, which is definitely not good because they're not giving us anything good. And I drugs? Know...
Good drugs?
I know, that you know people say though. They didn't come in by boat or by airplane. Sure, they probably could. But the thing is, you're going to lessen how many are coming in illegally. And to me, that's always worth it. You have to do something. If you got a leak, it's better to plug it up partway and only have a drip than to leave it alone and let it slowly erode and become a downpour.
But I thought we were supposed to love it.
Say that again?
I thought we were supposed to love it. It doesn't sound like love.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. Look, that doesn't seem inclusive. Like,
see, what you're not understanding is I do love them on the other side of the border.
I'm sorry.
I agree with you there. I think that I believe in sovereignty. I think that sovereignty is very important for America. I obviously don't want to see any sort of travesties on the border or concentration camps. And I'm throwing air quotes there that people would lead us to believe. In a certain way, there are detention centers and some areas need more attention. But others are doing really great. And there's a lot of really caring people that exist as border agents. There's also a lot of assholes, but that's any fucking industry ever in existence. You got both assholes and angels.
You can find that even in your own family.
Oh, dude, trust me. You know, I used to think going to a family reunion that everyone was a bunch of assholes, and then I realized I'm the asshole. Took a lot of self-realization there. But in a lot of ways, I agree with you, but I also think that America was built on immigration and bringing people in here and the idea of making the nation great. And the idea of bringing people in, being able to teach them patriotism and get them excited about being American makes me excited. And that's how I think it should be.
Right. And you're not wrong. And I do agree with you on that. But at the same time, I think when we had a ton of our immigration come through, that was during Ellis Island. And correct me if I'm wrong, that was during like World War I, World War II.
Okay.
When families literally had to leave because their nation was literally destroyed by the Germans.
Well, right now there's like these areas like in Palestine where they're getting all fucking destroyed. And right. areas in Iraq and Afghanistan mm-hmm. where they're getting all destroyed.
Or and, like normal hardworking and, people in Mexico terrorized by cartels.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's that too, but yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the difference. They came through Ellis Island. They stood in line. They had their information stamped and checked. And they were monitored. When they come across the border, that doesn't happen. There's a vast difference.
I think it's booming at the border, the idea of coming to the border and claiming asylum, right?
But I mean, they had no way to check them. They couldn't do background checks. They didn't have some kind of instant
system. Well, no.
Interesting.
They pretty much just took a name and let them in the country, and then made the police do their job of busting criminals. Why has that changed so much today, and the police are just allowed to just pull over speeders?
I mean...
Good luck with that. I've seen more speeders in New Mexico than anywhere else.
It's not just speeding either. It's like...
It's so much more.
It's like insanity. It's like utter hatred. It's like you lose your fucking mind and you go out there and you fucking cheese grind anybody that gets in your way.
The problem is in everyone's thinking. I remember when I got out of the Air Force and I went back home. I had a younger half brother that was in school, in high school, and he was actually taking driver's ed. And we were talking and he said, yeah, well, you can go five over. And I said, yeah, you can, but you're not supposed to. He goes, well, they don't care. That's the legal limit. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, the legal speed limit is 5 over. And I said, no, it's not. I said, you know what the legal speed limit is? And he's like, 5 over, right? And I said, no, it's the speed limit that's posted. It's just cops don't pull you over. They don't care to pull you over if it's just 5 over.
Unless you're black.
But the...
Am I right?
Lord.
We could go so much further with all of that. But
Japo hitting up our Discord. By the way, if you're out there in TV watching land and you join our Discord, you can also get on the conversation. So just to throw that out there. But I digress. We digressed a little bit. So, Ho, border wall, what do you think?
Oh, I'm for it. I'm going to the point made earlier. I lock my door. I have a reason why I lock my door. It's because I don't want my stuff to be messed with. And I'm a single woman living alone. And I need to have some sort of security barrier. You know, there is a heap of difference between the Bloods and the Mexican cartel. They are on a whole new level compared to our gangs. Now, our gangs are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, I mean, I don't know which gang it is, but it's something, rob, rape, and control, or something like that. That's their motto.
Oh yeah, that's Mauda Sauda Chucha.
Right.
13 MS.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Literally, their idea is to pillage everything.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I want those guys. I don't want those guys here.
Sure. And there's, in the Southwest where we're at, there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Sinaloa cartel as well, which is interesting how it blends in. But don't you think that if we took more active control and cooperation between, that border area, that we could do something about it? Why don't we just invade Mexico and fucking take care of all their shit?
Well, Trump's
and claim
already
it as our own
offered.
Country?
Trump has offered to go and clean Mexico up. And because Mexico is run by the cartels and they're corrupt, they don't want that. Mm-hmm. The best thing that Trump has done is he's probably going to start designating the cartels as terrorists. He's been talking about doing that. I'm not sure if that's happened or not because I've been bad about keeping up current events. But I do know this is a couple weeks old at the most. And in doing that and naming them as terrorist groups
means we're going to fund them, right? Like the last ones.
Wow. We already kind of do since Reagan.
But it makes it criminal to aid them in any way. So banks can't do any business with them and anything. So Mexico's finally come to the table and said, hey, we got to talk about this. Mm. So we're getting their attention by, telling them, okay, guys. You don't want us to come up and clean up? That's fine. We'll just make you all terrorists.
And at this point, it's got to be at that level. You look at footage of what's going on there currently, it looks like a war zone. Mm-hmm. And my final thought on that, on kind of a not so serious tip, if Pablo Escobar can create a fucking $350 foldable smartphone running pure Android, flagship model with like scantily clad women selling his product, it's proof that Mexico could take that drug money that they already have there, invest it into things that can make way more money. You might as well make a fresh start with what you got, you know. Two wrongs don't make a right, but you could cover up that mistake with a good, like in Home Alone 2. Just trying to throw that out there.
What the hell are you talking about? No, I did not follow that at all.
Mexico, man. It's Mexico. Fucking goddamn it, you made me lose my train of thought. I was right there too. I was gonna flow with that.
You know, one thing that Mexico could actually do,
oh, I remember now,
to stimulate their economy until they could figure out something better. If they cleaned up Mexico and got all the drug cartels and everyone out and really reduced crime big time, they could be a major tourism country.
Mm-hmm.
They have some of the most beautiful places. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a cousin that lived down there, Cancun, I believe. He was a pilot.
Sure,
he flew planes commercial.
It's beautiful down there and shit. But like,
right.
And we've talked a lot about the reasons not to allow people in, which is like cartels and things like that. But what about the people who are suffering there? Like, we could talk all day about like, yeah, we don't want these people in, but how are we going to figure out a way to like, you know, take care of people that actually do need asylum?
And I'm totally okay with that as long as they want to assimilate and become an American and become legal and register and follow our rules. I mean, I'm willing to help out people like that, but they need to assimilate to us, not the other way around, because, you know, there's everything's in English and Spanish now.
I agree with Ho. I don't see why in America English is the language that we speak, yet I call anywhere and I hear press 2 for Espanol, you know.
Why, see, but why if you were up north, there? You'd be hearing. If you were up north, you'd be hearing French.
Why should it be that way, though? Is what I'm saying. It shouldn't be.
That's all I know in French.
Why not?
We're American. Like, we're English. If I went to Germany and I moved to Germany,
we're American. And what does it? What does American die for?
English.
True. You're absolutely.
That's what
right.
I'm saying. I'm not saying that we are Englishmen.
You're absolutely
know.
Right. And I agree with you in a lot of ways.
Would you like some canteen crumpets?
Was English the dominant language? I mean, at the very beginning, probably like Swahili was the dominant language because there was more slaves than settlers. So, I mean, at what point did the majority population speak English?
Boom.
Swahili?
I mean, probably.
Some clicking language from Africa.
I mean, fucking
I mean, I don't know. And then we went and found Mexico in the West, and there was already Mexicans there. I don't know. At what point was it all English? I mean, definitely to white people it was. But I don't know if there was ever a point of that imagined whiteness. You know,
let me make it very simple and clear for you then. Whatever the government that rules the nation speaks is what we speak. We speak English.
What would happen if Beto O'Rourke became president?
Then we'd all be speaking Tex-Mex.
Right? Fuck, dude.
And eating tacos with forks.
Also,
while riding skateboards for vanity.
That's beautiful. Real quick, shout out to Build Lego B-Dog. What do we think about Hollow Earth? I think that... Hollow Earth, what about Long Earth? Maybe like Long Hollow Earth. But Flat Earth, I think that the physics shows otherwise, and that we live on a ball. I don't think that necessarily what NASA is feeding us is the truth, because, you know, aliens and whatnot. But I definitely think that we live on a ball. How about the rest of you guys?
Are we talking about the flat Earth thing? Because
someone out on TV watching land wants to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, we definitely live on a globe.
Word. How about you, Wook? What say you, Wook? Flat Earth, round Earth.
So I've had the pleasure of flying around this Earth. I haven't found the edge of it, but if you live on a flat Earth, you can go ahead and fall off now. That's fine with me.
Go Epstein yourself.
I mean, what the
fuck? I don't think that. If you believe in flat Earth, that's cool, man.
It's a round Earth because a guy who spoke Spanish found America.
I've been to Korea, I've been to Germany, I've been to Bahrain and Sicily. I've flown literally completely around this world in total. I never flew off the edge of this world into space, so I don't see how anyone can think that it's flat. I think that's more of a meme than anything else.
No, man, you'd be surprised.
Well, exactly. Tell them.
There are believers. No one that I would want to have lunch with for sure.
They probably support Hillary Clinton.
So I got one more question for before we get into clips. And I'm pretty sure I know where everybody stands on this. And we'll start with you, Crafter. Trump, yes or no?
No to Trump. Morally, as a person, no.
Why?
Why? His vanity. I don't know. I mean, I could go Orange Man bad and be a meme, but there's something going on in the tanning situation. I don't know if it's artificial. He's going to tanning boots a lot. There's something going on there. There's something, the thing with the hair. There's a lot of vanity there. It's definitely the four marriages. Know. He's been divorced 4 times. I mean,
you know what, Crafter? You are right. He is so vain. We can't have That's
vain.
Why we need a vote for Beto O'Rourke, because that guy's not vain at all.
He's out of the race, man. Thank God. And by the way, deuces Kamala Harris fucking putting weed smokers in prison and holding them in jail, fucking tainting our fucking prison systems with people who are doing lesser crimes, spending tax dollars money for fucking to keep people down just to make you look good. Fuck you, bitch.
You know, to be honest, that's not even the thing about her that I have a problem with, because I've already told you, Miles, that I believe all crime starts somewhere and you've got to hit it hard at the bottom.
Okay.
But
the top?
If you can stop it before it gets big, that's better than waiting until it gets big.
I see what you mean.
See? But despite all of that, the thing that I just found that just irked me the most with her is she'd be like, you know, in her personal career, she locked people up for smoking weed. The second she announced she was going for president, I smoke weed.
Right, exactly.
Such a damn hypocrite.
That's the juxtaposition I was trying to make there. You know, you can't be on the right, or I'm sorry, you can't be on the left, you know, where the majority narrative is to legalize marijuana. And then, you know, the people, your constituents believe in that sort of thing. And you're going to be the kind of person that made sure to prosecute these type of people to the fullest of their extent. Right or wrong, what that shows is a lack of moral standards, you know. It's like you'll go with whatever. So, yeah, okay.
Interrupted me, Miles, just kidding. I mean, that's why, Trump, it's not really about, the politics of conservatism. I have no problems with that. It just seems so backwards from the values of truthfulness and integrity and you know, presenting...
Integrity
weed. fuck, now you're with me again. God damn you. It's like the Walmart of behavior. It's like everything we don't like about America, like Walmart and McDonald's, and the things we don't want to be is everything Trump embodies. Like... He's world wrestling entertainment, you know, like that's not real sport.
I definitely agree with that. He's, you know, he's larger than life in that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's really not the fact that, like, I don't want a Republican president. I'm fine with that. I don't know how Trump became the best nominee. Like, how is that the most sound politics on the side?
You know why?
Well, okay, so how about you, Wook? What do you think, Trump or no?
Trump, yes.
And
you talk
and
about...
Yuho, what say you?
Oh, Trump, yes. And I can answer Crafter's inquiry why. Trump is the answer of the right from the left, because the left has been so toxic and condemning that we needed someone to fight back. And that's, I mean, he's it. He's just as obnoxious as they are and worse. I mean, he's driving them crazy. So crazy. I mean, they are like, we have no choice. We have to try to get him out of office now. He can't be controlled. So that's what all this impeachment bullshit's for.
He drives them so crazy that for 4 years they've had TDS.
Yeah.
But, you know, Crafter, you talked about how he doesn't embody what the government should stand for, truth and honesty.
True.
Well, that literally, you just literally called out every single Democrat
for sure
that's ever even looked at any kind of office.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have a deep, rotten to the core problem. And trying to, like, you know, choose a worse example of that's not going to cause solution. It's like the dismantling of modern democracy.
Right. So the way I looked at it when I voted for him the first time, outside of the policies, because I looked at the policies that he was talking about and I agreed with that, the other extremely major reason I wanted him in, and I know you're going to say, you know, what I'm going to talk about here, we are so far in debt, it's ridiculous. And I know he's never single-handedly going to get us out of debt. But the way I looked at it, as I told everyone, is we are so far in debt that we need to curtail our spending. And everyone said, well, oh, this. And I said, he's a businessman.
Yeah, that's interesting because
he knows
it's kind of the opposite of what we're doing.
Because I look at it and I go, he's a businessman. If anyone's going to know how to get us out of that, it's going to be a businessman. Someone that can look at the government and the nation as they would their own company.
Well, he got us out of that Iran deal.
Yeah. And everyone will say, well, he's been bankrupt multiple times. Yes, that's true. And you know what? That makes me want him even more because he was bankrupt and now he is a multi-billionaire. If
well,
he can do that for himself, what can he do for our country?
He was going bankrupt, just real quick. He was going bankrupt because he was using our laws to get ahead. Bankruptcy saved his ass a couple times. I mean, everything he did to amass his wealth, it was strategy.
Sure.
I mean, it looks bad, bankruptcy. No one wants to go that, but it was all strategy with him.
So
I agree. It was all strategy, but a lot of strategy has been used over the years to make money worth more than it actually is.
Yeah,
I think, and a lot of ways where I was excited about Trump at first, I feel that he kind of went a different way on some of his promises. He likes to bolster things so that it distracts from other things that he lacks, which is a great technique as you know, a strategist and a politician, which he's not a politician, but the idea that he can the idea that Trump can use strategies to amass money is equivalent to like the pharma bro being able to amass money by taking a certain drug and cornering the market and raising it 5,000%.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Is ripping off 500,000 people, you know, love or, you know, like a Christian example even? Like, how does the right say that he's a Christian president even?
Okay, so you want to talk about love and everything. Well, my grandparents raised me from the time I was 3 years old. And one of the things that, you know, they taught me when I was growing up is that you have to fix yourself and get yourself stable before you can help others. If you only have $20 in your bank and someone comes up and says, I'm hungry, and you give them the $20, what real help are you giving them?
But I mean, you're saying
you need to settle yourself first. And then when you have surplus, you can help others.
But settle yourself at the expense of others?
Like, right. Sometimes that's what it takes.
I think that in business, it would be the opposite way. You always take care of yourself first.
As a nation standpoint, every single year, because like I said, I was in the military and we always had to see this. We would have the military's budget cut and people working for a living would lose their job and be kicked out of the military because the government said no. But then they would send trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to this country or that country. And that's why I wanted Trump, because I'm going, we need to stop helping these other countries. Not because we hate them, but because we're so far in debt, we need to help our own people.
And
when as a nation, we are finally stronger again and we have the money in the surplus, then we can help them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hurting Americans. We're hurting our own nation because we want to spend massive amounts of money on all these other countries that aren't even going to use it for anything good.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I look at it and I'm like, you know, we really need to curtail our spending in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long run, that's what I believe love is.
I think that, that's all well and good, but we have to be critical of some of all of our politicians. And I think that a lot of times with people who are Trump supporters, they lose sight of what's going on, you know, behind the scenes with things or right in front of our face that's being masked by other goings on. This whole fucking, you know, 2 week now, 3 week ordeal with the impeachment inquiry over this stupid phone call. It's like ad nauseum fucking taking away the whole news cycle. Now, everybody's focusing on that and all these other things are going on. All these other amazing talks and, you know, summits are actually going on at the same time. We're not even paying attention to this. And I think this is important because we see this with Trump's interactions in the Middle East. Like, sure, get out of Iran nuclear deal, but like, what about what our nuclear deal with Saudi Arabia, you know? What about, I mean, you know, I can't even talk shit about the American government right now with as it pertains to Israel. It seems like they've trying to kind of change their position. So it's like, now you guys do your own thing. You guys figure it out. And I kind of appreciate that. Like, you know, we should do that more in the Middle East. Like, fuck it, you guys figure it out. Like,
but we're also giving them more funding than we ever have before.
So, is that true?
Yeah. Israel's receiving more U.S. funding than they ever have before. So, I mean, and while they...
Do you have a source for that?
The internet. It's probably...
No, I'm being serious. Like, if you're going to make that claim, I mean, I don't know. And if Miles doesn't know, do you have a source that way we can look it up?
Sure. I mean...
I'd be interested in actually seeing that.
He'll do it eventually, but anyways, we talk enough shit in the show just to let it flow, and obviously it could be disputed. you are the TP of our shit show tonight, Yon Wookie. Thank you for fucking being here.
That's fine. That's why I got all the fur to clean up the mess.
Yeah, and we bring Ho along to make us look good. By the way, if you're single out there and you're semi-intelligent and semi-good-looking, hit her up. She also streams. She's looking to make how much in U.S. currency are you looking to make?
Are you asking? Oh,
not on Twitter, on Twitch. Sorry.
On my Twitch, I need some bits for tits.
Exactly.
www.fapnow.xyz. And as far as single, yeah, hit me up. I just want a guy to be taller than me and have teeth, and I'm 5'2", so you have a shot.
So yeah, if you're
hey there, Ho, how you doing? What's up?
Wookie got a lot of teeth.
I'm 5'10". I got teeth.
He got like 72 teeth, though. I'm just saying, he got a big mouth. But warm brown eyes, but you know, all brown.
Oh, Miles, you want to date him?
No, I'm just trying to help you out. I'm trying to help a girl out.
I know. Warm brown eyes. I've never heard it. Okay.
Yeah. It's
clips,
poetic.
clips.
Oh, is it time for clips? Are you guys ready?
Hell yeah, bring it.
We don't want to poke the bear anymore. Oh, there's going to be some clips to poke the bear tonight. I got a special one that I've been saving for you guys. We'll play it towards the middle of the show. Think pro everything. Pro all the things. Anyways. But pro, I found some... Epstein. I've been... Yeah, Epstein did kill himself, by the way, if you didn't know. But I've been surfing through the airwaves, scraping some channels and picking up some C-SPAM. And I found some fucking interesting shit and sifted through a lot of what the news cycle and like Fox News puts out and kind of cut my own clips from it. Plus, we got obviously the Sleepy Joe, Creepy Joe clip for the powerful hoe.
You're welcome.
But I kind of want to start it off tonight because we always hear the same fucking angle from Andrew Yang. I took a glimpse of the fifth Democratic debate, which is just, oh my God. I rather fucking watch the impeachment inquiry than fucking watch the Democratic debates, because it's just such a like skeleton crew up there, you know? No one's really trying. Everybody like read off of everybody else's script, and it's just fucking a war of attrition. It's fucking bullshit. But there's some diamonds in the rough, and this clip I think can be appreciated by everybody across the aisle in this day and age. This is Andrew Yang. I like to call this Yang dropping the true. This is out of MSC.
What the actual hell?
This is out of MSNBC. I cut a clip from the actual debate. Here you go.
Christopher and Damien, how many of you all are parents like us here in the room? So if you're a parent, you've had this thought. Maybe you've been afraid to express it. And it is this. Our kids are not all right. They're not all right because we're leaving them a future that is far darker than the lives that we have led as their parents. We are going through the greatest economic transformation in our country's history, the fourth industrial revolution, and it is pushing more and more of our people to the side. We talk as if Donald Trump is the cause of all of our problems. He is not. He is a symptom, and we need to cure the disease. Now, my first move was not to run for president of the United States, because I am not insane. My first move was to go to D.C., talk to our leaders, and say, technology is ripping us apart. Immigrants are being scapegoated, our kids are being left behind, and the American dream that my parents came here to find is dying before our eyes.
Immigrants.
And the people in Washington, D.C. had nothing for this. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to talk about an issue they don't think they have a solution for. I'm not running for president because I fantasized about being president. I'm running for president because, like many of you here in this room tonight, I'm a parent and a patriot, and I have seen the future that we're leaving for our kids, and it is not something I'm willing to accept.
What do you think of that shit? Andrew Yang dropping it tro-tro. Am I right?
Are we taking turns on this, or?
Sure. We could tag team Andrew Yang. You go first, Wook. What do you think?
So... I do actually kind of agree with him on one point. Trump is a symptom, but he's also the cure, because the reason he's there is because of them. He is a symptom of them. And so I do kind of agree with him on that, but I don't agree with him on anything else. If the world today is worse than what it was when I was young growing up, is only because you have this incessant message that the Democrats and the left are constantly pushing on everybody, that the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And kids believe anything that adults tell them. Mm-hmm. So if they're constantly being told.
Yeah, I've had more kids jump on my back for like running my car to warm it up, you know, and global warming and stuff.
You see what I'm saying?
I have any adult, yeah.
I was never told as a kid that, oh, the world's ending. And, you know, the biggest terror we had was Y2K. My grandparents laughed that off. Look what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, Y2K, bitches.
The left is constantly pushing this doomsday message unless they're the ones in charge. And right. I think that that is why the kids nowadays have such a dark future, because you are what you think. And if you're constantly being told to think that everything is bad and horrible, then of course it's bad and horrible.
All right. I could dig that. Yang Yang True True or not so much much?
Honestly, I just can't get the mental image of my head of this guy on his knees and Andrew Yang's putting whipped cream in his mouth, because that's an actual thing that happened in the past couple of days. But no, I agree. I think we also have a big issue with the kids right now. It's funny that I think high school kids get it. They know that high school kids are okay. They're not about, you know, safe zones and stuff like that. It's the college kids that we're having an issue with.
Right. It's like the early later millennials and like early Gen Z. Go ahead.
Yep. But I don't really have much to say, but I do know that I agree with the point, you know, spreading this doomsday crap. Mm-hmm.
Our kids are affected.
It's playing the kids thing is a motivator to want to do something about something, but it's just propaganda.
Interesting. What say you, Crafter?
So Trump is a symptom, and the people are out of touch with reality. And you know how Yang wants to fix that? He wants to give you $1,000 a month, Yang Gang.
Yang Gang.
If I can interject, if he gave me $1,000, I would vote for him. But I'd say, yeah, I'll vote for Yang. And then I would put on the Republican side Yang Wang.
Yang Wang.
Yang Wang.
There was a recent study that showed $1,000 per month per citizen would increase the economy by $2.5 billion the first year. So it's possible.
So
leave them in debt.
Very, very interesting. I would love to have $1,000 a month. I would start my own business, but I don't think that it would do good for our economy. I think that currently the way that things are structured and the way that people are when they get money, that we'll just dump it back into a system that will continuously take advantage of us. I don't want to divulge too much because we could go off on a fucking tangent just on that. But as far as what Yang says, I think something that we need to address, and maybe he's too soon in this, is the technological advancements of a new industrial age, an industrial age of code, of more advanced servos and axes for robotics, and amazing advancements and neural computer uplinks. We're looking at a world of augmentation and virtualization, even in computing. And it's something that's going to destroy a lot of jobs and be a high learning curve for people that are used to working manual labor. It's going to change the landscape of our economy. And I think Yang is touching on this. He might be a little bit too soon. Maybe we're just retarded. I don't know. But $1,000 a month, Yang Gang. I wouldn't vote for him. I wouldn't vote for him. Simply because I don't know. I'd vote for him over most of the candidates, but if I were to vote for a Democratic candidate, it would be Tulsi Gabbard.
Same.
Even though I am very disappointed in her position with the Patriot Act, she decided not to vote this time, and I think that's very cowardly, especially with her stance on regime chain wars and the involvement of, Israel in 9/11? I don't want to fucking say retarded shit.
Yep.
Israel
did. Israel, CIA, Saudi Arabia. Yep.
You heard it here first for boast.xyz. By the way, Sandy Hook never happened. Wow. All right. So next clip. Let's see here. We could spice it up with some Trump stuff. And then I have a very interesting clip because we were talking about economy earlier. I want to get to that. But this C-SPAN clip is from the recent NATO summit. And one of the a bunch of reporters were asking questions before the summit. And obviously Donald Trump is out, you know, President Trump's out there wanting to engage with people. He loves being in the limelight. And that's one of the things I do appreciate about Donald Trump is that he's not shy in front of the camera. He's not shy about what he's going to say. And his international dealings are very interesting. And I do kind of appreciate his hard stances on things. And this is one of those, I'm going to play a clip where this is one of the times that I respect a position from Donald Trump. And there, I'd say Donald Trump for me is 60-40, 60% bad, 40% good. You got to see good in what he does. But there's some dealings that I think are shady that are keeping the war going, similar to what, you know, Obama did to us. And the economy's fucked, good. But we'll get to that. This is a clip I like to call DJT Defends NATO Yeets France. Here we go.
Well, President, on the criticism about NATO saying that it is brain dead.
Who said that?
Macron saying that NATO's brain dead.
By saying that he was brain dead, which is interesting. Now, NATO serves a great purpose. It got to be unfair for the United States because the United States was paying a disproportionate amount. And I heard that President Macron said NATO is brain dead. I think that's very insulting to a lot of different forces, including a man that does a very good job in running NATO. It has a great purpose, especially with the fact that NATO is becoming much more flexible in terms of what it looks at. But I was very surprised. I'd like to ask you, what did you think he made a statement about NATO being brain dead? What did you think?
Well, that's not the case, because actually NATO is active. This is NATO is agile. NATO
General is Secretary of NATO.
And we have just implemented the largest reinforcement of collective defense since the end of the Cold War, with high readiness of our troops. For the first time in our history, we have combat with the troops in the eastern part
someone
of the
needs
islands.
A thousand fucking
European allies and Canada are investing more, also right. In the capabilities, and we are stepping up the fight against terrorism, and we are, as an alliance, for the first time also addressing the security implications of the rise of China. So the reality is that this alliance have proven once again to be able to adapt to change, responding to a changing world. So that's the reason why we are a success.
NATO changing as response to a changing world.
It's a tough statement, though, when you make a statement like that. That is a very, very, very nasty statement to essentially 28, including them, 28 countries. I think that, you know, you have a very high unemployment rate in France. France is not doing well economically at all. They're starting to tax other people's products, so therefore, we go and tax them. It's just taking place right now on technology, and we're doing their wines and everything else. And it's a very tough statement to make when you have such difficulty in France. You look at what's happened with the yellow vests, or you look at what's going on during certain parts of their season. They've had a very rough year. And you just can't go around making statements like that about NATO. It's very disrespectful.
So, fucking what up? So, what, Crafter, what exactly is NATO?
NATO, the North Atlantic Trade Organization, right? I think that's the acronym. It's a combination of all these countries in the North Atlantic, America, Canada, England, Republic of Ireland, I don't know, maybe France, some other fuckers in there, too.
Turkey.
But they agree to protect trade routes from any hostilities, and also protect each other from any hostilities.
Yeah, you said that way better than I could have. If you'd have asked me, I'd been like, yo, man, it's like you and your homies when you get together in your basement, you know, like, yo, you watch me, I'll watch you, we'll make sure no one messes with each other. I don't really know.
That sounds peculiar. Is that like, never mind.
I don't know too much about NATO. Interesting fact, though, when I was in high school, I had this world history class that I took. And part of the school year, we actually did our own NATO in the library. So the teacher turned around and was like, you choose a country and you write like a paper on it. And if you have the best paper for that country, you get that country. And everyone got a country, and then we went in a library and would hold like our own NATO meetings and everything.
What country did you have?
I went for one that no one else did. I was France. I'm being that serious. But I had a permanent seat on the council, you know, and I could veto anytime I wanted. And
is
it was fun.
France still off the chain as far as like rioting and a yellow vest action is concerned?
Every weekend.
Sure.
Holy shit, that's so crazy. I can't believe that's going on. What's going on in Hong Kong currently is crazy too. And that's been like 3 weeks, four weeks right now.
Did y'all ever see that Chinese man?
Which one? I mean,
he's like, Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is
Can you do that again, please?
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Yo, for real, this dude was like shaded up and everything. He was awesome.
You have no idea how happy you've just made me. digressing yet again to the next clip. We are barreling through these today, but I'm very excited about this one. This is a longer clip. And this is because everyone talks about the economy in the United States. And I've been wanting to introduce this gentleman's existence into the verbose atmosphere for quite some time. Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff is most known as far as social media concerned. He put out a series of YouTube videos where he would go to Occupy Wall Street demonstrations with a sign that said, "I'm a one percenter, ask me anything." And he would answer questions to these kids that are like standing up against Wall Street. And he's trying to explain like, dude, this is how you make money. And the way that our economy exists, it helps prop up your ability to have this kind of freedom. And, anyone can do this, and this is how you do it, right? Going on the street and preaching that message, very interesting guy. And you see him on a lot of different outfits, which I find interesting, from the left to the right. I think he was an analyst on CNN at one point, but his economic ideas have always been so radical that they're just like deuces. So Peter Schiff, no relation to Adam Schiff. Shifty Schiff. This is him on... Oops, I almost copied the wrong clip. That would have been super embarrassing. This is him on RT, which is the Russian Propaganda Times, talking about a little bit about the U.S.-China trade war. This should be interesting.
Thanks for being here. So let's talk
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, let's talk about what seems to be halting some of this trading is the issue of China and the fact that President Trump appears to be kind of walking back the idea that a deal is about to be reached. How do you see it?
Well, I've said from the beginning that there will be no substantive trade deal reached with China. In fact, we're not even talking about a real trade deal anymore. We're just talking about phase one. And phase one is basically nothing. And I think what the Chinese basically want to agree to nothing is for all the tariffs to be rolled back so that we return to the status quo that existed before the trade war began.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Walgreens now, they got a boost this week.
As no?
Reports that
I don't want fucking lead-based toys and fucking them telling me all this bullshit I don't want.
That's not radiated food.
In corporate history, coming in at around $70 billion. So if this entire deal comes together, how significant could be the terms of flexing the power of private equity here?
Well, you know, we're having a lot of private equity deals in the era of cheap money. You know, even though interest rates have moved up a bit, what we have, 1.5% Fed funds, we have a inflation rate well in excess of 2% per year, even the way the government measures it. So with all this cheap money around, there's a lot of deals that are being done. But if the Fed were to allow interest rates to rise to a normal level, a lot of these deals would not be be done, and I think the economy would be restructuring in a much healthier way. Instead, we're continuing to inflate a bubble, and we're propping up companies
that's it right
that
there.
Be better off going through a bankruptcy.
So what would actually be the
benefit the country should
of
declare bankruptcy
here?
Guys.
They haven't been private since about 1970.
I kind of agree.
I mean, I'm not involved in this transaction. But I know there's usually a lot of costs that are saved. If you're not a public company, you don't have to do all of the reporting that is required of public companies. But if they're financing the transaction by going deeply into debt, You know, this is something that will ultimately probably be problematic when the Fed loses control of interest rates and interest rates ultimately rise in a severe recession, which is my forecast.
So, Peter, we know you love to talk about gold and silver. Gold and silver prices have been pretty steady today. But late last week, the precious metal slumped a little bit to three-month lows. Over the weekend, we saw more violence in Hong Kong between police and protesters. Do you think that will cause the price to start to move again? Obviously, folks looking for kind of a safe hedge right now.
Well, the real driver behind the rise in the price of gold is central banks, not only the Federal Reserve, but central banks around the world. And what happened last week is I think we had some profit taking in gold based on some false optimism of a trade deal, which again is not going to happen. Whatever we get will be not, you know, won't be anything of a deal. It won't change any of the dynamics between the United States and China. But interest rates also rose rather sharply later last week, particularly on the long end of the curve. And that also caused some selling in gold. But ultimately, I think the reason that interest rates are rising is because inflation pressures are rising in the economy and because there's not enough demand for all of the bonds being sold. All of this is very bullish for gold. And so rather than simply selling bonds, people should be buying gold because they need to get out of the dollar. In fact, they need to get out of fiat currencies in general and seek a real safe haven. And that's
Bitcoin.
And as we kind of circle here, you keep mentioning about the trade deal, that it really seems to be, the way you're kind of laying it out, political theater more than anything else, that there really is nothing substantial about it. If that is the case, do you think that both sides will attempt to make some kind of announcement, looking as if they have won on behalf of their respective sides within the next few months as part of theater?
Well, I am sure Donald Trump will make lemonade out of whatever lemons we end up with on this trade deal. I mean, he'll talk about it as if it's a victory, just like he talked about, the USMCA, which was simply NAFTA with a worse name. So he'll claim that this was a great deal, even if absolutely nothing is accomplished. You know, the important thing is that the trade deficits are bigger now than they were when Trump became elected. And the whole purpose of the trade war was so that America would be winning on trade again. Well, we're losing on trade bigger than ever, and so Trump would not have achieved or delivered on that promise, whatever he wants to pretend.
Yeah, we can't let facts stand in the way of political theater, though. Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital, thanks for your insight.
Yeah, I mean, facts, okay. Inflationary currency, okay. That hits me for real. But how long have you ridden this wave? Is that what we truly need? What Peter Schiff would say is that we need to go into recession. And pre-President Trump, candidate Trump, was all about the idea of our country's heading towards a recession and that we have to brace for it. We have to expect it. That was one thing that was an interesting discrepancy, that he rode these public initiatives to a bubble and then, kind of used what Peter Schiff put out there as cheap money. That really resonates with me, right? Like inflationary currency, your currency is worth a dollar, kind of, but like through inflation, you lose a percentage of that. Like, I don't know. What do you think? And this, I think, really goes back to the idea of like business mogul who's making billions, or someone that's really good at, riding on cheap money.
All I can say is I better invest a bunch of Trump gold coins.
They do exist.
Because I got gold and Trump. So I'm like, okay, man, I know that that'll be extremely valuable.
Yep. How about you, Wook? What do you invest in?
I invest in me and my time and sleep. all this stuff. I'm not big on economics and stuff. I don't know too much about it all, to be honest. I'm not a big businessman. Otherwise, I definitely wouldn't be doing what it is that I do.
Are we
going to head to a recession? I mean, I think realistically, sooner or later, we're going to be there. I see recession and economy kind of like the tide, you know, it goes in and out. You can't stop it. So
that is an interesting perspective.
All you can really do, I think, as a person is just know enough about the economy and whatnot to know to just save your money and always be prepared. One thing we had as a saying in the military, security forces, what I did is we'd always say, hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yep, yep. I dig it. I dig it. My opinion differs, but I dig it. Crafter, invest in gold or Bitcoin?
I mean, invest in either. I wouldn't say worry about your fiat money really that much either. I don't see any kind of massive depression on the horizon. If it is a recession, it's going to be just minimal loss of growth or, you know, stagnant growth for a while. And I don't think that's going to be like a disaster for anything. So, I mean, I don't know why the panic to move your money anywhere. I mean, I guess if you have a large sum of money, you know, you would want to. But little people like me, what's the matter? What's the matter?
At the end of the day, it's all about making your money make money for you.
Exactly.
You got to put money into things that are going to give you money back, whatever that may be.
You can always do like my grandfather and invest in something that's always going to be safe. He has stocks in Exxon.
Yeah.
Gas companies, you're always going to have gas as long as we have cars.
Yeah, exactly. Formula One's trying to go green, by the way, just to throw that out there. Yeah. But we won't go there because this next this next clip is for it's for the ladies.
Hell yeah, Brian.
This is
excited.
This is a C-SPAM clip of Blaze TV host Ali Beth Stuckley. And she's talking on C-SPAN about, air quotes here, pro-abortion.
Oh, boy.
The gentleman from Georgia, Mr. Heiss, is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Seems to me that a lot of this debate and argument centers around whether or not the baby is a person or a fetus. And I recognize that many on the other side of the aisle refuse to recognize the baby as a baby. Refuse to recognize it's a person, it's humanity. Ms. Stuckey, there have been a lot of medical advances, certainly over the last several decades. Can you tell us about some specific scientific evidence supporting the personhood, the humanity of the baby, and the viability?
Well, embryology tells us, thank you for your question. First of all, embryology tells us that the child from the moment of conception has a separate DNA. And so when we hear these euphemisms thrown around, like my body, my choice, immediately obscuring the life of the child, it shows me that the pro-abortion argument doesn't deal with fact, it deals with feeling, which is exactly why we've had such a hard time getting any kind of clear answer from any of the panelists of what abortion actually is, what does it do? Because tearing a child apart limb by limb with forceps just isn't a very good PR strategy for Planned Parenthood or the abortion industry. All I'm trying to do is to remind us when we're having this conversation that there are two people. There are two people. And I don't believe that we have to pit a mother against her child in order for a woman to be successful. We talked about, you know, legislative solutions and showing compassion for children after they're born. I absolutely believe in that. Every pro-life pregnancy center that I've ever been a part of, that I've ever donated to, they don't just counsel women. They also offering parenting classes. They are also offering help from abusive situations. They are offering programs for these young women to be able to get affordable baby clothes and baby products and things like that. And so every pro-life organization I know cares about children in the womb after they're born and the mother who is pregnant with these children. That is what I am trying to argue, that let's not ignore the scientific reality that a baby is a baby and therefore, in my opinion, is deserving of the right to life.
And the way this is even going beyond abortion in the womb, as we all were horrified, many of us, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, in his description of however it could possibly be described as a post-birth abortion, one of the most horrifying things I've ever heard in my life, where the baby would just sit there on the table and we would decide what to do with it. How do you respond to this?
Yes, that's a great point that you bring up. Unfortunately, this has been a reality in other places across the country. We like to act like this is not a thing. The CDC itself says that over a span of 11 years, at least 143 of babies were born alive and then not resuscitated, or born alive and not attended to and cared for. Only six states actually require this kind of reporting, so the number of 143 is probably a lot higher than that. So what we see, that this is not just a degradation of children inside the womb, it's a degradation of babies in general. It's a degradation of life based on whether or not this child is wanted by the mother. And again, I ask, in what other context, in what other stage of life do we decide that someone gets to die simply because they're not wanted? And not to provoke a slippery slope fallacy, but truly, what we've seen from Governor Northam's statements and from other statements that we have heard is that it truly is a slope. There is a logical and a moral slope to this, and it seems like the pro-abortion side is sliding down very quickly.
Well, and to that point, and I think it is likewise an excellent point, you brought forth a while ago Planned Parenthood's own study that the majority of women have abortions, not because of their own personal health, but because of convenience sake, whether it be a job or whatever it may be. How does those findings from Planned Parenthood itself undermine the narrative, particularly about late-term abortions, that it has something to do with the health of the mother?
Yes, and we can have conversations about the health of the mother in those very rare circumstances. But as you mentioned, and as Planned Parenthood has noted, the vast majority of cases are for any reason whatsoever, including just not wanting a child, it not being convenient, wanting to finish school. And if the pro-abortion side were honest, they are completely fine with that. They are completely open to the normalization. There are organizations now that exist to normalize abortion, to distinguish. Stigmatize abortion. That means that they believe abortion to be not only normal, but good. Actually, we heard the doctor say that she believes that abortion is good. And so if you believe that abortion is morally good, of course you don't think it should be limited to the life of the mother or any of those very rare circumstances. It is all 9 months on demand without apology. That is the new motto of the pro-abortion side.
And the fact is, the baby is a person. And for that reason, how could it be moral to kill it?
I don't know what else it is if it's not a person.
Thank you. I yield back.
Boom. Who wants this one? Wookie, what say you?
Abortion is evil. It is murder. And if you claim to say that you love people and that you're inclusive and you're willing to kill a baby in the womb.
Or out of the womb, because I hear that's a thing now.
Ugh.
I mean, I have no words to describe it. This is why, when at work, I won't talk about this.
Yeah, it's.
I have. I hate to say the words so strongly, but I can't stand anyone that is okay with abortion. It is pure, blank murder of innocent life that hasn't had a chance to do anything yet.
So if we give someone a chance, at what point is their life not worth it anymore? So someone's born, right? They're born to a black single mother in a ghetto in Florida somewhere. And they live in a trailer with mold and shit, and they didn't even go to a doctor to have the birth, and they had the baby, right? Mm-hmm. And then, so, you know, we could go through the scenario, like, of crack use in the house, and, like, being raped by people in the neighborhood, you know, and, like, exposed to drugs at an early age, never getting a good education. At what point is the life not worth it?
Well,
go ahead.
But you got to understand, you can become stronger with adversity.
Sure.
My sister was born mentally and physically retarded.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that story before, and I think all of us here can relate in some sort of personal level of,
right,
like overcoming strife in our lives. But we don't live in areas where, you know, no one here, no matter what you fucking say to me, Crafter, no one here has been exposed to a culture that puts you in a place where you have less of a chance than other people. I think us hanging out here, we had the opportunity to live within communities where it was like our life was given worth. We don't know what it's like to live in a portion of society where life isn't given the same amount of worth. So I ask again, what's more, we could spin it any other way too. What's at what point war wise, like you go over to other countries and you decide to drop bombs on people who are women and children. At what point does that not have value? At what point did we decide that that doesn't have value? You know,
this is where I tell you, and I say, life is never not worth it. Now you bring up when, at what point do we go and drop bombs on women and children? That lets me know that you know nothing about the military.
I don't specifically know a lot.
Our military.
Okay.
Being the fact that I was security forces. I was military. So our military
doesn't drop bombs on other countries.
We do drop bombs on other countries.
Okay, so what are you trying to say?
But you said on women and children. And that's where I say no. And if it does happen, it is under certain circumstances. It is A, bad information. B, the women and children are being used as shields. Which, in which case, if we know that, we don't drop bombs on them. We actually go in and try to protect and save them. Or C, the person that ordered it is absolutely horrendous and they ought to be in prison.
Sure. You drop bombs on an area where there's a target.
Yes.
Is that separate from an area that there's, you know, that's a domestic area? Or an area where there's civilians?
Military targets.
Yes, yes and no. Because here, this is where the training that we get, we have what's called LOAC, the Law of Armed Conflict. And it's that one and another one. But again, I separated back in July of 2014. And it's been quite a long while. And I can't remember what it was. But I remember LOAC specifically. And these are things that they grill you and grill you and grill you about before you deploy. You have to know it. It's very big. And if you shoot a target that is not a designated target, you go to prison. No ands, ifs, or buts. They may give you a court-martial, but you're gone in a heartbeat. Now, the thing that makes it difficult is especially with like when you were in Vietnam. Vietnam had its fair share of problems because they hid so much, they would hide in the villages. But specifically from my experience, I never deployed to Afghanistan or Iraq, but I had many friends that did. And I've heard all the stories.
Sure. And they, you know, are willing to fight and die for the country.
Well, you but have from to, a standpoint. No, it's not just that, but you have to understand the terrorists over there, almost everybody dresses up head to toe. So a lot of times you can't tell if that is a woman or a man. And then you add on to the fact that kids want candy. Kids want everything from American GIs. So they will swarm you. And women, they want food. You see what I'm saying? Innocent people will swarm you. And you're trying to tell them, stop, stop. The fact of the matter is,
we're willing to deploy people who are going to area and fighting other people. Maybe yeah. Not a lot of civilians die, but there is collateral damage. You can't say that there's not.
There is. I mean, there's.
Imagine if bombs were dropped somewhere on a military in a military area in New Mexico, right? Like Kirkland Air Force Base is right there. You can't tell me that there wouldn't be any sort of collateral damage. Regardless of the fact, we're willing to go to war. And I think a lot of the reasons we go to war are obscured. And we're willing to kill people. But if you go from a stance of morality, I would say that anyone would say that killing people is bad.
Absolutely.
So at what point is the life not worth it? I go back to that. Because if we're not, you know, if we're willing to say that abortion is evil, which I agree. I think
this... This but year is at where the same I will token, fall back.
But at the same token, I think it's unfair to say that we can kill one person. We can't kill one person, but we can kill another.
This is where I'll fall back on my faith. In the Bible, Jesus specifically told Simon Peter himself, because when they came to arrest Jesus, Simon Peter pulled out his sword, and they had swords, and struck one of the people that was coming to arrest Jesus and sliced off his ear. Jesus healed his ear and turned to Simon Peter and said, "Put your sword away. Don't you know? He who lives by the sword dies by the sword."
So you're saying that because the enemies fight with guns, we have to go at them with guns?
Not always, no, because we do believe in redemption. We do believe that anyone is savable.
So why not redemption for the Middle East? Why not redemption for Palestine?
There are people that will not seek redemption. And what I'm saying is,
so we don't turn the other cheek and slay them?
You give people the chance to be good. You give them a chance to live. And you say, look.
But can you tell me that's what's going on? I understand that's your personal opinion, but is that what's going on? In a government that separates himself church from state, where we have to as a society come up with tough answers to really shitty questions like, should we offer abortions, right? You know what happens when you live in a place where there isn't any sort of like legal abortion? You have people who use coat hangers to rip babies out of them.
Right. And here's what I'm gonna have to say to you, okay? I don't have an answer. There are some things you're just not going to have an answer to. That is one of them, okay? There's no good answer I can really give you.
Yeah,
but what I will say, absolutely, 100%, is these people that go to war, these people that commit crimes, these people that end up in prison, they had their chance. These innocent babies, you're giving them zero chance. Zero. You do realize that. Zero.
Yeah,
just because you don't want to have that child.
I mean, I agree. I don't think that abortion should be used as birth control. I don't think I think that if you fucked up and got someone pregnant, that's your karma, that's your path, that's your destiny. Take it. I think it's very selfish to be like, I'm going to fucking abort this because it's not convenient. Fuck you. It's not convenient. You decided to have sex. You have that baby. That's definitely what I believe. I do, however, think that if you are raped by your uncle, you know, and these are rare circumstances, right? This is why abortion is important to protect on a level that is specialized. It shouldn't be like, this is my new form of birth control. I'm just going to keep fucking mangling babies left and right.
But that's the thing. The incestuous baby that everyone talks about, or the woman that's raped and has a child, that is actually so much less common and so little.
Sure. But that doesn't mean there shouldn't be, right. I'm totally 100% agreeance with you. I can't speak for anybody else on this podcast tonight, but I agree with you. I think that abortion is immoral. I think that a human life is precious. I think that it shouldn't be some sort of, I believe in destiny. And I feel like this is your destiny, it's so selfish to change that, You should just live in the moment and go with the flow. Have that kid. It's going to change your life and theirs.
Right.
But at the same token, I think that there should be, I'm not a woman. I can't experience this, but if you're a woman and you're raped by someone or there's incest involved or, your life is at stake. Like, I think that these are things that should be protected. Now, the narrative doesn't speak to that. The narrative speaks to, trying to normalize abortion. I personally think, and I think it's something that's disgusting and that should be a procedure only when necessary.
To a degree, I agree with you, and I can understand where you come from. A lot of it, though, when you're talking about rape and, if a woman's life is in danger, that's where I have to disagree with you. And the only reason why, and I've told other people this before, and I know no one's going to agree with me, but who are you to say who lives and who dies? Are you God?
Well,
if you have a baby that you don't want, I get it. you're raped, and it can be very, very traumatic. I'm never going to downplay that. Or, you know, if you're raped and it's incest, I get it. But there is abortion. And I would never, and it is, it's very difficult. It's very difficult because I know that if I was married, I would love my wife 100%. And if she was pregnant, I would love my child. And if
sometimes
it was her,
you don't love your wife. I'm just
and
saying.
If it was her or the baby, it would be very, very difficult. But again, as a man of faith, that's where I have to turn around and say, you know what? I'm not God. God is God.
Her,
and
the baby.
I have to let him make that decision.
Yeah, but don't you think God created all of these beautiful systems that we have here that we take advantage of? That he gave us the ability to have the intellect to come up with these systems to create energy and medicine and food industries? You know, don't you think maybe that's the magic past, like, it's some sort of instant blessing? I think it's more spread out than that.
And
what's
and
more important... Just hold on one sec. In this situation, in this scenario of your wife or your kid, don't you think that the potential for life is superseded by a life that actually contributes, that being your developed wife?
Here's what I'd say. We don't know when we die. Only God does. And no matter how hard it is, maybe it's God's will, your wife dies. I know it's very difficult and it's not easy to take, but if it's God's will that your wife and your child live, he will give the doctors the knowledge that they need to save them. He'll give a miracle. You see what I'm saying? People think miracles are, oh, the baby miraculously lives. Sometimes it's just the doctor goes, oh, wait, now I know what's wrong, and they're able to fix it. Sometimes that's the miracle.
And sometimes,
otherwise, they would overlook a little bit of information.
But you forget that God gave us a certain level of free will, and in that we're forced to make hard decisions. This is what makes us strong as humans. And if you give it up to God, you miss out on the God that's within you. Christians say that as Jesus Christ. You know, Catholics talk about that as the Holy Spirit. But it's that piece of something that you reach for inside to make these hard decisions and to carry forth in life, whatever that interprets to you. And that's why I appreciate you coming on the show, because it's all about, you know, none of us may agree tonight on anything or on a lot of things, but at the same token, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have the forum to speak. I want to leave it on a light note, so I saved the best for last. I got this amazing clip, and shout out to this YouTube channel, PTW. They have an amazing just partial clip of this insane Joe Biden. Wait, go ahead. You say something, Crafter? He's dying in the background. He's like, oh my God, what the fuck did you do?
That's how I feel. I'm usually in bed by like 8:30.
Yeah. Thank you for fucking coming on and holding it down through our...
I'm going to wake up in about 5.5 hours.
Yeah, welcome to the club, my dude.
I'm struggling here.
So this last clip is Joe Biden and his insane thoughts on hairy legs, roaches, and kids. Here we go.
Joe, whoa.
Here I saw that made me aware when I was in law school, proudly for Holloway, proudly for your dad, first African-American state senator in the state of Delaware.
I believe I heard this.
Everything about
it. Yeah, it's a good one.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn
that turn
blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I love kids jumping on my lap.
I love it.
And I tell you what.
This fucking guy.
They're now all men. The guys I work with down here. And they're all guys at the time.
All guys.
They're all good men.
Don't worry. They're all guys.
Most of them made a lot of themselves. And Earl Larkin had a rough time. And some of you knew Earl. I came back as a public defender.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Exactly. I thought you would like that cut.
You're front runner, Democrats. You're front runner.
That's what blows my mind right now.
That is
like
fucked
you
ha- up. I'm the liberal over here, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
The dude is so creepy. Has anyone checked to see if that is Jeffrey Epstein?
Right? I know, right? It's like Jessica Simpson, or I'm sorry, what the fuck's her name on Fox News? Megyn Kelly. She's actually Anna Nicole Smith. You ever hear that one?
No, I'm not. I hadn't.
Fucking love it. Yeah, so front runner, Sleepy Creepy Joe, at it again, fucking saying some weird shit. I think there's some newer clips of him groping women too, again. He also nibbled his wife's finger in public. That was really kind of interesting. She's trying to do damage control, and he's just fucking shitting all over his own campaign. It's beautiful. Deuces, Kamala Harris. I'm glad you're out. I can't wait till we're down to one. I kind of hope it's Bernie. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see 2016 Trump versus Bernie. I thought that would have been a way closer race. This time, Trump's going to win regardless of what happens.
I don't know. Personally, I'd love to see Trump have a hand at Pocahontas.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And funny thing is, she claims that. I don't claim to be Native American, but I actually do have more Native American in me than she does.
What percentage do you have?
Oh, man. I have to get on it real quick. It's on Ancestry.com. Give me a
no,
moment.
No, don't, moment. No, don't I'll worry do. About it.
It don't take very long.
What I do appreciate, though, is that you didn't give me some bullshit number. That speaks volumes about you. Fucking, oh, who do you say?
I got it, like, right here.
Yeah, no, look it up.
So, Indigenous Americas,
okay.
Mexico, Chihuahua, Durango, and Zacatas, 4%.
How the fuck did you get through our border, bro? You must have a fucking...
Bro,
They didn't check something.
It was my great-grandfather on my mom's side. He actually played in like a symphony or something like that. So I'm pretty sure he came on like a traveling band.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He was like, you let me through, I play music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was probably on the Alamo, and you know what side I'm talking about.
Yeah, considering the other half of my family was in that Alamo.
I don't know. That would be good. Seeing him go after Joe would just be kind of, I don't know, it'd just be sad. It's like watching someone take candy from a baby. What? How about you, Ho? Who's your favorite matchup for 2020?
I don't really have a favorite, but I think Pocahontas and Spartacus would be funny.
Yeah.
So, wait, who's Spartacus?
Spartacus Booker. Yeah.
Cory Booker is Spartacus.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was back during either the Steeler report or one of the other reports when they were investigating him for the Russia hoax. And he said, I'm not even going to lie, you know, this is my Spartacus moment. And that's how he got the name. He's like, Spartacus. People aren't going to agree with me, but this is my Spartacus moment. And this is my 300 moment where I might die, but I'm going to stand for the truth, you know.
And as it turns out, what he was repeating, it was already reported.
Yeah.
So it was just freaking idiot is what he is.
But that's why everyone calls him Spartacus.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. And I love like that first debate when Beto drops Spanish and Cory Booker just looks at him like, you think he's like, this motherfucker is fucking stupid. And then you realize later he was just mad because he wasn't the one who did it first.
You mean Robert?
Robert? Oh, Robert Francis O'Rourke. Yes. Dude, I was in Texas. I was in Austin when those signs were all over the fucking place for Beto, you know? And people that I would talk to around there, they're like, he's for the, you know, Hispanic community. No, he's fucking using you guys. You guys got duped. This guy's a fucking con. Hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15. How the fuck are you going to say that to an American, man? You're fucked up.
The only thing I have to say, I don't even own a gun, but I would absolutely go out and buy a gun and then tell him that he can have it when he comes to get it from me personally.
Right? You just buy a gun so Beto can come take it from you? I love it.
Yeah, I'd answer with a bullet.
I don't know, man. It'd be hard for me to pull the trigger on anybody unless I'm truly threatened. I don't think I would feel threatened by Beto O'Rourke. Like, at all. Hell yeah, I'll take your guns.
What is up with his arms? You know,
that's,
how he...
Yeah.
when he
see, interesting thing is they're actually filled with helium, and he forgets to tie them down, so that's why they're always all over the place.
He's like one of those weird wacky inflatable. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking man, crazy, all the shit's going on right now. China, or you know, Hong Kong's still off the hook. The crazy thing is Trump is like jumping in there and being like, hey, we're gonna keep doing trade deals with Hong Kong, and by the way, China, y'all are fucked up, you guys had a deal. There's just these little things that Trump does that I like. You know, I don't completely hate Trump, but I think that in the long run, we need to sit down as Americans and really hash out what compromise we can come to. I don't think it's necessarily Trump's fault on the division, but there's a lot of division going on in the United States. No matter what you side of the aisle on, you always got to respect someone's opinion. You always got to fucking give each other space, because if we come together and give each other that kind of space and dignity, then we'll be able to actually hash out problems. Yeah, remember the 80s? Remember the 90s when like you could like, you know, have a difference of opinion?
You know what I miss?
I miss those days. Yeah, what do you miss?
And I miss it, and I think we ought to go back to it. I think that what we need to go back to is when you have a difference in opinion, you get an argument, then instead of all this argument and fighting, you just have a dance battle.
Bruh. Hell yeah. I knew it, dude. Yes, exactly.
You know, well, I was thinking more like Michael Jackson, Beat It.
Okay. That's interesting.
I'm probably a lot older than y'all, apparently, I guess.
No, I think you're probably the youngest one here, honestly.
Were you into can't musicals? you're talking West Side Story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Fucking, I got to give a shout out to Israel. You guys are amazing. Especially fucking all the attacks going on in Palestine and fucking... not being Hezbollah involvement. It was actually other rebels, interestingly enough. Trump on Baghdadi. What do you think about that? That's some cool shit. He killed Baghdadi.
I thought it was great.
Word.
We just need a Call of Duty game about it now.
Shut the fuck up. I totally agree with you on that. Palestine, straight Palestine, fucking Egypt is bisexual. I think Syria up in there somewhere is, they're probably an attack helicopter. Also Alex Jones, you ever want to come on our show, man? See, you know, we'd love to hear your opinion. It'd be really cool. Atrazine in the water turned the freaking frogs gay. Epstein didn't kill himself, and the gay is real. I want to give a shout out to Wookiee Ninja. I know I trolled you at the beginning of the show. But for real, dude, thank you for coming on the show. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about like what you do and where they can find you?
Yeah, so I was actually about to ask if I could do a, you know, very shameful plug here. So you can find me on Twitch, WookieeNinja87, WookieeNinja87, all one word put together. Got my nice little Wookiee insignia picture thing there. I do streams, and what I mostly stream is like one player game playthroughs. Right now I'm playing through Resident Evil 2 the remake for like the umpteenth time, I feel. Anyways, still a great game, still surprises me at times, but I play others. I have YouTube as well, which is same handle you find me by. And I've tried to get into Twitter. I'm very popular and high in demand, so if you want to check me out, jump on that ball.
We'll put links in the description of all our videos. Dude,
I think Twitch is the only people that watch my streams.
He's got more views than us, so he's got like 3.
I'm asking.
Yeah. Big ballin'.
And as always, you could thank you for joining us as well, Powerful Ho.
My pleasure.
I super appreciate you coming on. Find her at fapnow.xyz. And if you want to come around and play some Doom, definitely hit her up.
I'm asking Crafter. Sometimes too.
You do?
What? Sorry. What? Oh, okay. That was a muted fuck.
Exactly. So Crafter, do you really?
No.
No.
I haven't seen a picture yet, but you know, I'm open to options.
Fuck, dude. And we are verbose.xyz. Holding it down for you every week. 43rd episode. Please hit us up next week. And if you are sticking around for the first time, subscribing, all of that shit. Follow us, whatever the fuck. We love all you motherfuckers out there. We're glad you're around. Also, hit up our website. Again, the links to everything there. Join us on the Discord, blah, blah, blah. Merch to come. And yeah, appreciate you motherfuckers coming by. The gay is motherfucking real, y'all.
Balloon explode, we all die. Nobody couldn't handle the truth, we all lie.